Wait for it.
I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.
That's right. He is Loki from Asgard, burdened with glorious purpose. We are Chim and Chuck of Midgard, burdened with dad bods. And this is the unofficial Loki After Show brought to you by your friends at Active Geek Productions. And Chuck, we are going to break down episode 4, the Nexus event, where we got a lot. I mean, we got a lot of backstory on Sylvie. We got a little more confirmations on some of the theories that I've pitched and some of the kind of the Easter eggs that we talked about in the last episode. And then we saw the Timekeepers. But before we get into that, let's tell our wonderful listeners that there are spoilers in this episode.
Yeah, major.
We are going to spoil, yes, major, major, major. We are going to spoil the hell out of episode number 4, the Nexus event of Loki, which on Rotten Tomatoes, this series is getting a 92 critic score, which is fantastic. But on IMDb, this episode is getting a 9.5, which is probably the highest rating I've seen on an IMDb television show in quite some time.
Yeah, definitely. Normally, and IMDb is always low. Like, I saw something, it was really, I forget what movie I was looking up, and it was like 6 out of 10. I'm like, really? And then I even looked at some of the fan reviews, and they were like, what are you talking about? Like, this is way better than, you know, 6 out of 10. But, yeah, that's pretty high.
Huge. Huge for a series about a villain who, if anybody besides Tom Hiddleston was cast as Loki, I don't think would have gotten a solo series. And honestly, I was talking to Chelsea, I think, you know, let's take Thanos out of it because he got like 2 full movies to be in. But there, I think there's only 2 villains in the MCU that could hold an entire series, even if it's 6 episodes. And that was Loki and Killmonger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, a Justin Hammer series is going to happen or, you know, a Whiplash series. Bucky would have been great, but he's a good guy now. Yeah. You know, we get Zemo, but he's kind of an ensemble character. But that's enough. Let's get into this episode. We see a ton of stuff in the first 5 seconds of this, and that is the origins of Sylvie, who I'm going to take it back, and I'm done with theories. Because I kept saying she's the Enchantress. She is clearly Loki. And I think I bit on the breadcrumbs. I followed those breadcrumb trails that they left for me. And I just got caught up in a spider web because I thought that she was going to be the Enchantress. And I believe that she is now Loki. She said it, I believe, towards the end where she's going to die. She said, you know, Lokis don't always come out on the right foot or whatever. So she called herself a Loki. So what did you think of this episode?
I loved it. And like you said, like everything we were saying last week of how like she never confirmed she was a Loki and she kind of was agreeing with Loki about Asgard and, you know, just she was telling him what he wanted to hear. So that's why we were like, oh my God, like she's not Loki and she could be someone else. And then the first 5 seconds we saw the little chick from Walking Dead. Yeah. And she played young Sylvie and here she is in Asgard playing with her little wooden toys. And I was like, okay, that completely goes against what we were saying last week. So right then and there, I was like, okay, she's Loki.
Yeah. It's, you know, what's crazy about this is like, you know, Tom and I did an episode on the mid-season review of Loki, which at this point is going to be edited once we're done recording this and I got to post it. But talking to him, talking to you, talking to Dion from In Club Magazine, I've just been coming to realize, and it's taken so long that like, it's kind of like what Marvel says is what Marvel does. You know what I mean? We're making all these theories and we're kind of just like at some point wasting our time making these theories because it's easier. Like the stuff that, like, it's not as hard as we make it. You know, they say she's Loki, a variant of Loki, and we're like, she's Enchantress, or at least I am. You know, she's Enchantress, she's this, she's that. Mephisto. Did you think Mephisto was going to show up when he said he was in hell?
A little bit. I was like,
Dude, let me tell you something, and then we'll get back into the episode. I watched it later on Wednesday, and I just was on my computer and I reloaded my desktop at work and comicbookmovie.com was up. Mm-hmm. and it was like information about that big cameo on the at the end of Loki, and the picture that they used was Mephisto. And dude, I hadn't seen the episode yet, and I was going into it, and I'm like, these son of a bitch reporters, like, dude, it's like 12 o'clock on a Wednesday. And they posted that. So, like, you know, I'm not going to go on their site anymore in general, but, like, man, it was viewer beware, because I went in there like, if Mephisto's in this, I got to quit podcasting. I said I was going to do it, but thank God he wasn't. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go back to your thoughts.
Like, you were saying how, like, we go down these rabbit holes and we, like, think of all these theories and all this, and a lot of times it's nowhere, like you said, as complicated. So...
Yeah, we get boner.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, perfect, Ralph Boner. Like, who would have thought it was just a out-of-work actor that Agatha, you know, grabbed and made Quicksilver? So, it was...
Certainly not me. There's 4 hours on document of me saying that he is Mr. Pandemonium. He is Mephisto. He's Nightmare, you know. There's a lot. He's Wonder Man. You know, there's a lot of... You know, shit that I've been talking about these series. Like, I know what I'm talking about, and clearly I do not.
Yeah, and you know what? It's fun. It's fun to think about it. It's fun to theorize, and you're like, oh, what if this has happened? What if this happened? And, you know, we do get some stuff right. We do. But we...
Yeah, I mean, I got that she was going to be a woman in the first episode. You know what I mean? So I'm 1 for 11 in this series. This episode was great, right? It was super good.
Like I said, we got to see a Baxter. And to me, it was, like, tragic. Like, you see, she's been on a run since she was a child.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw time kidnapping, really. Yeah. I mean, her Nexus event didn't happen yet.
And we've seen this in different stories of the genres and stuff like that. Like, and especially in, what was it, Marvel did it with... if you can predict someone's going to commit a crime, is it okay to persecute them? And no, you know, and then we kind of saw that, and that was Civil War that happened, and this is kind of the same thing. Like, she didn't commit a crime, but they were like, she's going to, so let's get her. And it's like, oh, that's awful. Like, she was just a child playing with her wooden toys and Asgard. Like, it was, you know, nothing, and, you know... Gugu came in, grabbed her, and then, you know, was ready to persecute her. And she was, you know, she escaped. And then, to me, the tragic part was, like, she's been living in these apocalypses. That's how she grew up. And
yeah, and that scene kind of explains all of her trauma, right? Yeah. It explains why Loki can't sit with their backs to the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They always have to be prepared. So even our Loki, 2012 Loki, has been traumatized. With, you know, betrayals from Jotunheim and, you know, lies from the you know, Odin and Frigga from Asgard. But this version, Sylvie, has also experienced a ton of trauma, even more than Loki, because obviously it's been going on for, you know, fair to say, let's say 25 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, it could be 2,000 years, because Asgardians, they age, you know, slower than we do. But, you know, for the sake of this argument, let's assume this version of Loki, Sylvie, is like 25, 30 years old.
Yeah.
But to me, man, this episode, I think, was perfect. It was a perfect balance of action, suspense, and drama, and unexpected twists. You know what I mean? Like, some stuff was predictable, like Loki getting pruned. I kind of called that when they went into the, you know, when they went to go see the Wizard of Oz, all three of them up there. Major, like... The first time we saw them, like when, you know, Ravonna goes into the elevators and goes in to see the timekeepers, and I saw just the silhouettes with the eyes. I was like, this is Wizard of Oz. They're not going to be real. And, like, that was kind of predictable to me. But the scene with Owen Wilson's Mobius getting pruned, I was taken for a loop right there. That sent me for a ride. Did not see that coming.
Yeah, neither did I, because, you know, he's supposed to be an ally of her. And
yeah,
she's, you know, obviously she's hiding things, and, you know, there's more to her than meets the eye. So
yeah, it's like Transformers.
Yeah.
Robots in disguise.
As soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to say a Transformers reference.
Yeah, you know where it is. But you know what? It took four episodes. We finally got the villain of the show. Yeah. You know what I mean? Renslayer is the villain of the show, but albeit she's the villain working for, in my mind, a bigger villain, and not the Timekeepers, because we already know they're robots. I think that she's working for Kang. Like, I'm still getting, like, heavy on the Kang train in this one. And there's, you know, some other things that I'll talk about. But another scene that kind of goes untalked about was, like, the explanation of, like, the Nexus level stuff, like the trauma and damage. I thought that that made a lot of sense, because going into it, I heard Nexus energy, and you heard it, and Tom heard it, and everybody else heard it. And we went to Wanda. We went to, you know, the all being the masters of the dark arts, you know, man thing, Wanda. Now we have Sylvie. Like, that was explained good. The, you know, the turns, B-15 and Mobius is kind of self-actualization, realizing that there's merit behind what these two Lokis are saying. I thought that that was well done. It was needed, and it didn't take too long. Like, that could have been episode 6, where they both finally had their turn, and, you know, they came to save Loki and Loki. But I thought that that was great. Like, this is, pacing-wise, is fantastic.
Yeah.
I read a review that said this is jogging in place, and I think that that's absolute bullshit, because this is moving forward, and we could have spent 3 episodes on Lamentis. You know what I mean? Establishing the narcissistic love that I kind of called last episode between Loki and Sylvie. You know, Loki fell for himself, and Owen Wilson even said it. I thought that that was pretty fun. And then just the reveal of the Timekeepers being robots was great, and the pruning of Loki and Mobius was fantastic. So, you know, this was the best episode of the 4, and it just increasingly gets better, which is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it kind of sounds like a broken record, but it every episode, there's so many layers, and it does get better each time. And it kind of sucks to think that we are 3/4 of the way done the series already.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from the finale.
But I agree, like, this is a great episode. The one thing I thought, like, as soon as we saw the Timekeepers, I looked at them, I was like, they look like Chuck E. Cheese, like, animatronics. Because they looked, like, especially that squid-looking one looked really fake.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Green Lantern movie.
Oh, yeah, with...
you know, when they go to Oa and they, you know, they meet the lanterns. That, it wasn't cheesy, but, like, given that the Timekeepers are, or the TVA is kind of cheesy, their mascot is a walking, talking clock, and they're all wearing just brown suits, it was apropos for the environment. It was very... They're getting catfished, you know. The TVA was getting catfished, and there was a scene when, you know, Sylvie's fighting Renslayer, and when Loki goes to get when Sylvie goes to kill the Timekeepers, Ravonna's gone. Like, she was just on the ground, like, beaten, and then like the scene, and this could just be a lapse in shooting, but the scene, she was gone, and I was like, where is she going? And like, earlier going into that, I was telling Chelsea, I was like, Loki's going to get pruned this episode. Sylvie's going to be the hero. And, you know, she's going to take the mantle of Loki. I don't think that's going to happen, where she becomes the new Loki and whatnot. But Ravonna coming back, and like, that solidified that Loki was going to be pruned. I was like, you can't kill Sylvie right now, but they can kill Hiddleston, because he's died multiple times, and we know that he's going to come back for 2 more episodes. And there's another scene that I thought was great, when B-15 and Sylvie go back to Roxcart.
Yes.
And she finds out her memories. And, like, I'm looking at this woman, and, like, I'm like, I know where she's from, and I know I've seen her. I didn't do any of the IMDb research like I'm used to. She's from Fantastic Beasts, and she's also from Lovecraft Country.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of her in Lovecraft Country. So if you haven't seen that, you'll see a lot of her in that. So I thought that scene was great, but I also, like, thought, like, man, what did these two actresses do to piss off the director? Because, like, that scene didn't need to go to Roxcart, where they're just being doused with probably freezing cold water.
Yeah,
I was like, they're just getting peppered in the face. Like, Sylvie, like, spit water out of her mouth, like, accidentally. Like, I was like, oh, this is a, what did you do? Do you have any theories about the rest of the I know you're not a theories guy, but have you thought of anything for the last two episodes?
I mean, the Kang stuff makes sense. I don't know if it's going to happen, because that's Ant-Man's not coming out for, what, another 2 years?
Yeah, but listen, dude, who else could it be? You know, Renslayer is not your big villain. She's not a big bad. She can't be a big bad. And if she is, then they need to do a lot more work in these last two episodes to make her the big bad. She's not Agatha level. No. You know, and in the scheme of Marvel villains, Agatha is a tier two villain. You know what I mean? Yellow jacket kind of villain, but she's super powerful and Catherine Hahn's amazing. I don't think Renslayer is that level villain. You know what I mean? I think that she's kind of like she's below Shocker in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah. What's her power? She's a judge that killed variants. You know, she's got it. There's got to be a benefactor for her. You know what I mean? They're not going to do an entire arc about how Loki stops the judge of the TVA. So I think there's got to be somebody. And I know Ant-Man is coming out in 2 years or whatever it is, but Kang is all being, and he could be your big bad throughout the universe. And I think this would be a great time to not meet Kang, but maybe meet Immortus or meet Iron Lad or Victor Timely. And then you kind of piece your way. You meet a persona of Kang. And then eventually in Ant-Man, you see Kang. So, like, he could pop up in this. We could see, like, an altar, you know, in the end of Doctor Strange, another thing in Guardians. Like, we could see all his personas because he's everlasting. And he just happens to come to form, full form. Like, he goes full Super Saiyan in Ant-Man Quantumania.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I love the idea of Kang and the theories, but, like, is Ant-Man the big launching point for your huge villain? I don't know.
But we also didn't think an end credit scene of Avengers was going to be the launching for our huge villain either.
No, but that is... Avengers is the culmination of all the heroes. Like, Ant-Man is great. Paul Rudd is great. Those movies are great. But I just... I don't know. I don't see them having the big bad of the universe. Your next Thanos is your major villain in Ant-Man.
Because I don't think he's being launched in Ant-Man. That's what I'm saying, though. I think he's going to be launched now in that small kind of setting, like little screen type environment. And then you see the culmination of what Kang is in Ant-Man. And then he just, like, kind of, not to be, you know, Marvel-esque, but he snaps and he just disappears for a little bit. And we don't see him until later on in the universe.
And I'm fine with that. It's hard for me to believe that.
Yeah, I mean, if Kang the Conqueror is an Ant-Man villain in the MCU, I don't know if that's going to go over well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they'll do it well, but Kang is like, he's not God tier, but he's like A level, if not close to God tier as far as villains go.
No,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
I can't picture anybody else. You know, could this be an introduction to Doctor Doom? I don't think so. You know, I'm thinking of other big bads. Annihilus is too big to be working at the TVA. So I'm very, you know, is it Talos? You know, is it the Skrulls that are doing all this? You know, not Talos. Is it, you know, Super Skrull who's doing all this and this is setting up Secret Invasion? I don't know. But I'm still heavy on the Kang train. And I have one more theory that I'd like to run by you.
Okay.
It came to me, you know, kind of just like through kind of workshopping as we do. What if, and we kind of see this at the end with Loki, you know, the mid-credit scene. So if you haven't seen the mid-credit scene, I'm going to talk about it now. Go back and watch the mid-credit scene and then come back to us. When he gets pruned,
yes,
he goes to wherever he goes to and he sees, you know, familiar faces. Well, unfamiliar faces, but familiar garbs. And he doesn't die. You know what I mean? He says, are you in hell? And they're like, no, you're not in hell. What if pruning doesn't actually kill the variants? And what if pruning actually sends them and displaces them into the town in the quantum realm that we were told that, you know, Janet Van Dyne saw? And what if it also, if it doesn't do that, what if they send the, you know, the Mobiuses, the C-20s, the Lokis to the negative zone?
Yeah. Well, first, Did you notice the background setting of where they're at?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's New York. And you see the Avengers Tower. So, like, I don't know if it's the negative zone and it's made to look like that, or they're sending them to, like, a dystopian apocalypse of, you know, obviously it looked like New York. It looked like the Avengers Tower. And I don't think, like, after, so when they killed, and I'm going to, quotations, Mobius, I was like, okay, wow, I didn't see that coming. He's dead. And then when they did the Loki, I'm like, okay, they're putting them somewhere. They're not dead. Because
they put Loki somewhere. We don't know where they put Mobius because they were killed within minutes of each other. They were pruned within minutes of each other. So theoretically, wouldn't Mobius kind of be right there waiting for him?
But it's time. It could be, he could have been pruned and it was 10 years from now or 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know the power of the pruning and the TVA itself. So
no, we need that as a shirt, the power of the pruning. I know power of prunes, but power of the pruning is fantastic.
But you know what I mean? Like, time works differently. So
yeah, of course.
So 5 minutes, 5 minutes for them could have been a year. You know what I mean? And he could have he could have long hair and a big beard by now. I don't know, but
yeah, I'm curious to see. Like, that was just kind of like, I was texting and I was like, you know, this was a response to a text. Like, maybe this is where they go. And, you know, maybe Loki got displaced to another apocalypse, and maybe Mobius and, like, the ones who, you know, don't matter get placed in the negative zone or that quantum realm. I think that would be cool. You know, again, it all kind of plays on the Kang stuff. That's why I thought quantum realm, because, you know, let's say Kang is part of the quantum realm and, you know, he's pulling all these strings. Maybe he's, or the TVA is in the quantum realm and they're just sending it to different parts of it. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool. But you ready for some Easter eggs?
Yeah, a lot.
Not a lot in your face Easter eggs in this one, but there are some. Valkyrie gets her name dropped in Sylvie's backstory. I don't know which Valkyrie. I don't think it's Tessa Thompson's, but the existence of Valkyrie throughout the different versions of Asgard is fantastic. We get Sylvie dropping that she's a Loki, which I alluded to in the beginning. Then Mobius says, we have taken in Kree, we have taken in Titans, and we have taken in vampires. Yeah. The first thing I thought was Blade confirmed.
Yes. Yep.
I was like, Blade is, you know, Blade's the villain, you know, or it's Dracula. And then they said Titans, and that could be two things. Titans are, number one, are the Eternals. We know that. Another Titan, Thanos. Also, they lived on Titan, the Eternals, and Thanos. So
yes.
I thought that was a big play. This was supposed to come out after the Eternals,
mm-hmm.
but Eternals is now, this is leading into Eternals. So I thought that was cool to kind of just drop the Titans in there. We get more Kree name drops because obviously the Kree, and God forbid, you know, if this is another reveal of an alternate universe Ronan the Accuser, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be so mad because he's been in three movies. I don't need to see him again, or two movies at least. I don't need to, I like Lee Pace. I don't need to see Ronan anymore. We get Lady Sif.
Yeah, that was
who seems. She seems to be the big crossover character for Marvel TV shows. She's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and now she's in this.
Well, when you were saying like drama and action, like to me that was comedy. That was great. Like,
yeah, that was fun.
Of the time loop, and she kept hitting them and kicking them in the balls and all this. Like, to me, like, it wasn't like laugh out loud, but like I thought that was comical. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and it was nice to get It was nice to get Jamie Alexander back. She, you know, was super busy with The Blind Spot. I think that got canceled. Avengers Infinity War. Then she was part of the Snap. You know, I know she's going to be back in Thor Love and Thunder, so I'm excited for that. But there's a part, like, they kept focusing on the hair, and we've never seen Loki actually cut her hair. So I think that this could be kind of a nod. I went back to my Norse mythology. In Norse mythology, Loki changes Sif's hair from blonde to brown while she's sleeping, hence the hair play in this episode in my mind. That was a fun little nod to, you know, the lore of those two characters. Again, we got Wizard of Oz vibes. Loki, in the ending of his episode, gets transported to a place that he calls Hell. And when they said Hell, I was like, Jesus, good Lord, if this is Mephisto, I'm done. You know, and I was waiting for like a deep chuckle, like a Ron Perlman-esque chuckle. But when I think, when you think about the character of Loki and you think about his origins and, you know, his religious beliefs, Hell isn't the Hell that we think of. It's not the underworld ruled by a devil. Hell to Loki is also not the underworld ruled by Mephisto. Hell is ruled by the goddess Hel, H-E-L. So as he was saying that, thank you closed captioning, it was spelled H-E-L. So they are playing true and, you know, loose and fast with the Norse mythology, but they are trying to include it, and I love that about this series. The first scene in the show, when they're walking into the TVA,
yeah,
they focused on the logo on the ground, right? Did you catch that on the tile?
No, I didn't.
Circle, triangle, and there's a face in it. That face is damn near identical to Kang the Conqueror. You know, it looked identical to it, so, you know, back on the Kang train. And then we have, obviously, the four cameos at the end. I don't know if these were the cameos that comicbookmovie.com was talking about or if it was Lady Sif, but these are the ones we got. We got Kid Loki, who in the comics, if you're not familiar, I think he debuted in like the late 2000s, early 2010s. And he has tried to become a hero in the comics, which was alluded to for our Loki by Mobius and his conversation where they're talking about, you know, you can be the hero. You're better than this, you know, and just in case nobody ever told you, you could be what you want. You don't have to be evil. So I thought that that was cool. And eventually in the comics, Kid Loki joins the Young Avengers. And I was wondering if this show would kind of give you a character, because so far we've kind of have six members of the Young Avengers that I think are kind of announced. Mm-hmm. We have Speed and Wiccan, right, from WandaVision. We got two there. Elijah Bradley from The Falcon and Winter Soldier. If not, Joaquin Torres. He might be a little too old. We've got Kate Bishop, who is coming in Hawkeye. We've got Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, who's already been announced to get a show and a movie, be part of a movie. And now we have Kid Loki, which would be very cool to have that lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
I honestly think it was a missed opportunity to cast Timothy Chalamet. Honestly, when I saw that guy, you know, congrats on having your moment, dude, but Timothée Chalamet, if they're going to expand that character, would have been perfect for Kid Loki.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
Doesn't have to bulk up. He doesn't have to cut his hair. He'd be amazing for it. Then we have Alligator Loki, which is the most exciting cameo for me because that confirms that Throg's coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be happening.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, I don't know much about Alligator Loki, but I'm like, amphibians, Throg, Alligator Loki. I was like, okay, it's got to mean something.
It's amazing. Like, you don't just throw an alligator Loki in there. Like, there could have been so many other things, like Loki as Fenris or Loki as a giant wolf or a cat. Like, you could have seen those. It could have been Hulky. You know, we saw him in previous. It could have been Tour de France. We could have got all of those. But we got alligator Loki. Then we got classic Loki, who played by Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
If you go back, and I know you have, but for our wonderful listeners, if you go back and you look at the comic origin, like the picture comic of that Loki, it does resemble Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. And he's a good actor. So I'm thinking, like,
great actor.
A lot of people were kind of upset when he was casted in the sequel Star Wars because they kind of wasted his talent. And, you know, he was a general or whatever he was. I forget his character's name, but, like, he was a bit part in that. So, like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, Richard E. Grant. And, like, the costume, amazing. Like,
super dirty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's been through it. He's been through it because, like, his cod piece was discolored. His horns were discolored. Like, he's been through it. But, you know, you said bit part in Star Wars. Be prepared for a bit part in Loki, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
I don't think this is the launching off point for his MCU career, though.
No. I mean, if anything, he might be in next episode or the last two, and that's all we'll see.
Yeah. And then we got one more character, and then this is it for my Easter eggs today. You know, I had to watch it my third time to get more, but we have Boastful Loki. That's what he was billed as. who is Loki, who obviously is, you know, worthy of Mjolnir or created his own Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. But this version of Loki is a beefy Thor-like Loki who is carrying Mjolnir, which, or his form of Mjolnir. And I thought that that was great. That scene, honestly, you know, my mind, I was so drawn to Mephisto at that scene, and I was like smirking as it was coming, and I was like, oh no, no, I'm going to be upset. Got to quit the podcast. You know, how am I going to break the news to Chuck? But when they all popped up, I was so satisfied and so happy, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, what a moment. Like, you're going to have four versions of Loki on the screen at once, and then you're going to have five. You're going to have an entire starting basketball team of Gods of Mischief. It's amazing. So those are my Easter eggs. If you found more, let me know. I'm giving this episode a solid 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I saw a major, and I've been talking about this. I saw a major publisher give it this episode a 5 out of 10 and said it jogged into place, and I say nay.
Yeah.
It did not jog into place. This was a fast-moving episode. This is so... The story was amazing, you know, for it being the fourth episode and knowing how many times we watch bingeable shows and watch, like, big epic shows like this, there's always an episode that's kind of stale, and we haven't got there yet. You know, WandaVision had that episode that was a little, like, misplaced. This one hasn't. And I don't think the next one will, and I don't think the finale will. So I think that this is doing well. It's setting it up for a second season. It's setting up for the passing of the horns, if need be, to Sylvie or to Kid Hulky or, God hoping, Alligator Loki. Just as long as we get Throg, I'm on board. But this was a 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5 for you as well?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and I can't wait for next episode.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Owen Wilson come back. I was a little upset when they confirmed that he was not going to say wow in this show. So a little upset, but you know, we've gone through three episodes. Now this is the fourth, and we haven't talked about Kate Herron, who is the showrunner of this and the director of this. And I honestly think that she is absolutely crushing this. You know, I didn't really know much about her. I know that she directed a show called Daybreak, which I really like, but she only did one episode. She's absolutely crushing this. So I want more of her, and Marvel has another fantastic director on their payroll. On their payroll. So I'm excited, but that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. 5 out of 5 for me, 5 out of 5 for you. We'll be back with a Loki episode. 2 more left, and then we'll do the final review. So for the Active Geek Podcast, I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And we are out.